It's Johan here. Just a quick note, as a podcast guy, as an editor, sound is really important to me, so I wanted to have a bit of a disclaimer on this one that we recorded this whole interview with me using the wrong microphone. I was speaking into my podcast mic, but it was going into my camera mic, so I used a little bit of magic to try to make it sound much better than it actually was, but still not up to my standards. But this was a great interview. We couldn't delete it. We recorded the whole thing, and I hope you enjoy it. Every one of us has a story about someone who showed up when it mattered most. I'm Johan, and this is Neighborly, a podcast about the ordinary ways people show extraordinary care. Every other week, Shannon Steeves sits down with someone who's lived that out. Real stories of faith, kindness, and community in action. So grab your coffee and let's join Shannon at the table. Welcome to the Neighborly Podcast. It's Johan here and I'm on with my cohort Shannon. Hello, Shannon.
Hey, everybody.
So we're doing something a little bit different today. It's going to be Shannon and I kind of discussing one of the questions that we feel like kind of sits in the air in our episodes. Today's question is going to be, how do you care without trying to fix everything?
Yeah, this question, it resonates. It hits a little too close to home sometimes for me. And as uncomfortable as it can feel sometimes, I think it's an important question to talk about. And I hope our listeners today can see that maybe in themselves and just walk away with some reflection from today.
Awesome. Well, before we get into it, I think it's great when our listeners get to know us just a little bit. You know, you hear this voice, but who is this person behind the voice? They're just asking questions. We don't actually know who they are. So let's start with a little bit of an icebreaker just to give them a little bit of a glimpse into who we are. And hey, if our listeners enjoy this, maybe we'll do a few of these episodes once in a while just to, you know, behind the scenes, and we can discuss these questions further and dive in deeper into what it means to be a good neighbor. So the question I had, Shannon, and feel free to take this conversation over, because I don't know if we actually decided that I'm leading this conversation, but but before the icebreaker even, Shannon, how has this podcast journey been going for you? I mean, you're new to this. You kind of just jumped into it. Your first few episodes, hey, I think you're doing a great job with your interviews, but how do you feel it's going?
Well, thanks for the question and the encouragement, because yeah, you're right. It has been totally brand new. Not really something I ever would have, could have planned to be doing. And so it's great, of course, having a team with you and everyone else at Care Impact that is just encouraging and supportive, for sure. There's a lot that has surprised me about doing the podcast. You know, I think there's just something about when you put a microphone in front of somebody that naturally it can just feel weird for people. And learning how to have conversations that feel natural, but without, you know, letting the kind of, I think, some of the fear of, oh, this is being recorded and it's going out into the world. That's been something that the challenge of that, I think, has surprised me a little bit, because I think the conversations that we're having are important and should be shared. And the people that I ask to come on, or that, you know, people on our team ask to come on, have so much meaningful wisdom and thoughts that are important to put out in the world. And I want people to feel as comfortable as possible, but I know sometimes you just have to kind of jump into the deep end and go for it. So that's been surprising, but a fun challenge and journey to be going on with this project for me.
And I know it's even challenging for some people that you want to interview to convince them to come on the podcast. I know that's been my experience.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's really not that bad. It's
exactly.
Just come on. Let's have a conversation.
If you're listening to this podcast and I have asked you, or, you know, you have a little nudge maybe from the Holy Spirit that you have something to share, can I just encourage you that you likely have something to share that other people need to hear? And I've probably said that before, but it's something that I believe. And I think God does work in our lives, in and through us, in order to glorify him and make his name known. And so the things that he uses us for, I don't think that's supposed to stop with us and just keep that to ourselves. And so it's not prideful to come on and share the ways that you care about other people. It's biblical. And I just want that to be an encouragement to people that this is a space to bring glory to God by sharing how he's working in and through us.
And Shannon's not so scary. So
I hope
if that's your hesitation, well, she's like a kitty cat. So we're good.
Oh, no, I don't like cats.
Okay.
I'm a dog. Puppy. I'm a Labrador retriever.
There, we already learned something new about you. You don't like cats.
I don't.
You're a dog person. How about this question for an icebreaker? What's something that you've learned about yourself this last year? We're coming into a new year. Something that you learned about yourself last year that surprised you?
Yeah. I sat with this question ahead of time for a long time. And I was like, man, I feel like there's a lot that has surprised me this year. 2025 was a lot of growth and learning for me. And I think one of those big things is that I am not quite as adaptable as I thought I was or as I want to be. I want to be someone who's so super just go with the flow and can kind of roll with anything. And I've learned that that doesn't come as naturally to me. I think I like the consistency of, you know, things. And I think if I'm being honest, it's probably me trying to maintain control. And so, you know, learning to actually surrender that and like let the Lord guide my life. So I'm working on it. But what about you, Johan? I'm curious for you, what's something you've learned about yourself that surprised you this year?
I don't like being bad at things. So I had to think about this one too. It doesn't mean I'm not bad at things. I just don't like being bad at things. But I'm realizing that I'm not a great networker.
Mm.
Like, especially in person when there's like a crowd that's more than 8 people, I kind of get lost a little bit. I don't know if it's introvertedness or what, but I'm not the kind of person that can just go up to a group and start chatting away and finding out about their lives. But it's great one-on-one. Like, I love small groups. I could do that all day long. But yeah, realizing I'm not a great networker, which is difficult when you're working with a charity and you're trying to raise funds for your charity and support for your charity.
Right.
You got to be a good networker. So something I'm working on.
Yeah, it's a skill. It's a muscle to grow. And I'm with you. It's not my favorite thing either. I find I just force myself in those situations and it's hard. But you're doing great.
But it's weird. Like, if someone asked me to speak in front of a crowd, I could do that too. And I can lead worship in front of 1,000 people without any trouble. But ask me to have a conversation. Nope. Sorry.
That's okay. We have our strengths.
So Shannon, you want to get us back into our conversation, the question that we started this podcast out with, one we're going to wrestle with today.
Yeah. So today we are talking about how do we care for each other, care for community, but without trying to fix everything. So we are going to reflect on that a little bit. Johan, what thoughts come to mind for you with that question?
Well, this one's hard for me. I don't know if it's inherently because I'm male. We tend to do this where we like to fix things. So we automatically go to a problem-solving mode. How do we fix this problem, especially in marriage? That's the first example that comes up. And I love researching. I optimize. I like to make things work more efficiently and better. So that's always where my mind goes first. So this is one that I really struggle with. And I don't like leaving things unresolved and in the air. That drives me bananas.
Yeah.
What about you?
I struggle with this too. And I think for me, it's because for me, fixing feels like it's loving. Like, it feels like I am doing something. And I really don't like other people being in pain. Like, it deeply just unsettles me. And so my first instinct, if someone is, you know, going through something, it's like, okay, how do I make this better? How do I help? How do I fix this? Yeah, I don't know where else it comes from besides that. But I think, yeah, on the surface, it's like, I don't want someone to be struggling. And so how can I help change their circumstances?
Do you think sometimes, though, when people come to you expressing their challenge, what do you automatically think? Do you think they're coming to you for advice or is it for presence? Because I think it depends on the way we think. If people come to us with a problem, I think they want me to fix it for them. I don't automatically go to presence. So
I think it's maybe just our default. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think you're spot on. I think people really want to be seen and heard, and that really is oftentimes, I think, what they're looking for, and just need someone to listen. I think in all of our episodes so far, we've talked a lot about listening, and episodes this season, I should say. And yeah, that comes up again and again. Just people wanting to be heard. Will someone listen to my story? Will someone listen to what I'm navigating? And so much happens in that space without even trying to solve it or fix what they're going through.
And you're right when you say fixing often feels like care.
Yeah.
Because we want to help people, right? Mm-hmm. We want to build stronger community. And sometimes sitting with silence can feel awkward. That's sometimes hard just to listen, especially like for me, if it's a situation that I know I have gifting in and can solve, that's the hardest to not jump in and say, I could fix that for you, but sometimes I just want to listen. Can you think of any specific moments maybe where this was a situation in your life?
Oh, yeah. And you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I see it a lot in marriage. And I'm pretty young in my marriage where we just had, I think we're around a year and a half of marriage. And so definitely by no means do we have lots of experience or knowledge, but you know, you see when two people come together, you see kind of some of those different friction points. And so I was processing this with my husband before today, and this comes up a lot, I would say, in when we're navigating conflict. So if we're working through some type of challenge or, you know, whatever the issue is, I don't like the feeling of tension and I don't really like conflict to begin with. And so my instinct is like, okay, so let's just figure out what needs to be done. Let's, you know, I'm going to apologize and then I'm going to, y'all do this, this, and this, and, you know, just come up with next steps. Whereas if he's coming to me with, you know, expressing something that I did that, you know, was unkind or whatever, oftentimes he wants me to listen and just wants me to be there and not just jump to, okay, here's what I'm gonna do differently next time. Like, we'll get to that, but I just, my instinct is to just get to, okay, let's problem solve and get past this so that I don't have to really sit in that, the kind of uncomfortability of the tension.
Are you more the fixer than your husband, would you say?
I think we both have the different tendencies where he will at times, but I think it tends to be like my kind of gut reaction is to first go to fixing, whereas I think him, it's more natural to pause. So I'm learning a lot from that.
Of course, he has pastoral experience, so he's used to that pause, right? So
yeah, he's really good at listening and just sitting with people. And I want to be that way, but I just jump to what can I do first? What about you, Johan? How have you seen this show up in your life?
It's hard for me to think of an example except for something that happened recently. I'm not going to mention who it was specifically, but a close younger family member just went through some heartbreak. And just trying to navigate that, it's like I could give you a list of ways to help you to move on and think about your future. But then you got to balance, I'm so sorry that happened to you. I'm sorry you need to sit with that grief for a while, but time's probably going to heal the wound, sort of thing. It's hard to really strike that balance, especially when it's someone that you care about, because you don't want to see them go through the hurt and through the challenge and the uncomfortableness. You want to see them happy. So here's a way to make you a little bit happier when that often does the opposite, where they just need someone to listen. They need someone to love them. They need someone to sit with them with presence.
Yeah, I think that is so relatable, Johan. And it really takes us into the scripture that we want to dive into a little bit today. And we're going to hop into John chapter 11. This passage really just helps us to slow down. Do you want to read that or would you like me
to? Sure. I'll pull it out here. Yep. Verse 32. And this is the passage about Lazarus after he died. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been there, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked. And they told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." Okay, so here we are sitting with Mary, kind of complaining, "Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, this is funny because earlier in the passage, I'm pretty sure Martha said the exact same thing. And they said it to him separately. So obviously they were discussing this together, complaining about Jesus. Man, why wasn't he here? Our brother would have survived. So like there's complaining in the background behind the scenes, but then they're bringing it right to Jesus. And the funny thing is Jesus knows how this story ends.
Right.
He can solve the problem and he's going to. He's not going to tell them he's going to yet, but he still weeps. So he has a solution. He knows how it ends and he still weeps and he lets them wrestle with the question and he lets them mourn and complain to him. So like, why does he do this? Why didn't he just solve the problem and avoid the complaining and avoid the weeping and sitting with the feelings? Why do you think this, Shannon?
Yeah, man, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him for sure. But man, I think we see that to Jesus, what was important first was to see people and to acknowledge where they were at and meet them there. And we see that by his presence, that he didn't jump to fixing. He got to that later, but what was more urgent than that was just being with his people and weeping. I think that teaches us a lot, that what's important isn't actually what we're going to do to address the issue or the problem, but how we sit with people first and allow those feelings to come up and allow healing to come through just grieving together.
That's so good what you said. Basically, fixing wasn't urgent to Jesus at that time, but presence was, and sitting with the pain and the struggles that they had and letting them air that out and just listening and grieving with them at the same time. Like he wasn't just smiling, knowing that he had an answer, but he actually sat to grieve with them. He wept.
Yeah. No, that's so good. And I think the struggle in this for us as humans is that we don't feel like presence is enough. We feel like just sitting and pausing for a moment doesn't actually do anything. And I think this is for me where it really like kind of gets to the core of why my first instinct is to do something, is because I, consciously or subconsciously, I kind of want to be the hero. I want to be the one who helps someone go from, you know, sorrow to joy. And that's not my place. That's a space only Jesus can fill and a need that only he can meet. And so when we try to step into that, it's just not the same.
I think it's that need to be or feel useful, right? Because if you don't have an answer, it's like, well, I'm kind of inadequate for what you need right now.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like he says, in your weakness, I am strong. So it's actually an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to move. It leaves space for him to move and get the glory rather than us fixing it. But just sitting in that weakness, you know what? I don't have answers, but I have presence and I have the Holy Spirit as a presence within me. And if I could sit with you with that, maybe he can fill that gap.
Right. I think it's something that God has been speaking to me personally in a lot of areas of my life is ultimately, where do I find my identity? Do I find my identity and my self-worth in the things that I'm doing and the experience or feelings I'm helping create for other people? Or am I finding it solely in who God says I am as his child? And I think when our care and our compassion comes from that place, it goes much deeper than maybe coming from a place of is insecurity, really, of like, oh, I want to feel useful. I want to be the hero, because if I'm not, then what am I? and flipping that to say, I am rested in my identity as a child of God, and I'm going to be here with you, and we're going to seek Him together, and we're going to seek His will for your life. Approaching it from that perspective is so much more valuable.
That's so good. Who says presence can't make you a better neighbor? That's,
yeah,
it's quite profound.
Yeah.
Now, let's go to the other side of things. What about a time when someone stayed with you without fixing, where they didn't expect you to be the fixer? Can you think of any examples of that?
Yeah, I think of some examples, but I really think about specific people in my life that I've noticed are really good at this. I have one friend that came to mind right away who, she's also a trained therapist. And so I think some of that,
that's helpful.
She's really like honed in on her skills and her giftings, but she is, I think just naturally, she's so good at asking questions that make people feel seen. There was a time a few months back where I was just sharing with her something I was going through, and she just responded with compassion and acknowledging what I was feeling and asking questions about just how that experience has been, and then pointing me to the Lord and just acknowledging like God is with you in that. And that made me feel so cared for. She might even be someone who probably would have some great wisdom and some great suggestions on how to navigate what I was going through, given her professional experience, but she didn't. She just sat with me in that. And that was really, really meaningful. What about for you?
Yeah, similar to me. I have an older friend that I see at church pretty much every week. And we have a conversation pretty much every week. And it's just him checking in. And I check in with him too, and he just sits there and listens. I often have things come up in my life that I'm struggling with, situations that are challenging, stressful, and he doesn't solve things. He just sits there and he wrestles with me. There's empathy, but I feel heard, right? And that's enough for me to go home feeling confident that I was heard and I can wrestle with it with the Lord, knowing that there's someone in my corner.
And then also there's, you know, those times where it was the opposite, where maybe someone gave advice that was painful to us or hard. And I was thinking about this where I think I actually have not had a lot of these experiences, thankfully, but I can think of moments where I did that, where I, you know, gave advice or just responded in a way that wasn't presence. I remember a while back, I was probably a teenager, a young teenager, someone I love lost a family member. And my response looking back, I wish I could take those words back. And some of it, I know I was young, so there's naivety there. But I responded with, well, you know, they were really sick for a long time and now they're not, type of thing. And it's like, okay, that's true, but they're basically how the person responded was like, well, okay, but just because they were sick doesn't make it any easier that they're gone now. And I just, that stuck with me for a long time. And I pray that I haven't, you know, responded any similar way since then. But really what that person needed was for me to just say, yeah, it's really hard. And we're in it together.
Yeah, I think there's a reason why Scripture says He mourns with those who mourn rather than He fixes those who mourn, right? Mm-hmm, there's something to that where people just need that presence. They need someone to feel that empathy and sit with it, which is the example we just saw there in the Lazarus story. So I think we need our listeners to wrestle with this themselves rather than us coming up with answers. Because again, this isn't about having answers. This is about shared wrestle, things that we as neighbors wrestle with. So how do we care without fixing? That's something I think we all need to wrestle with in our own circles, because we all have different personalities. We all have different responses to people's struggles, but know that presence matters.
Mm-hmm.
We got to ask ourselves, why does silence feel so uncomfortable to us? Or do we fix because we care or because we need that control, which I know you mentioned earlier, is that need for control. And who taught us to feel that usefulness equals love rather than presence? So
right.
I don't have answers to these questions, but we can sit with them.
Yeah. And I think there's some practices that we can leave with listeners today that help us in navigating those questions. So a few things I'd love listeners to think about this week is notice when you feel the urge to fix. And I have an aunt that always says, practice the pause. And I'm like, that's great advice. And so when you notice that urge, practice the pause and try presence. Just try being there, whether it is quiet and you are just sitting with somebody, or you just give some encouraging words to say, I'm here for you. Things like, you know, that sounds really heavy, or I'm really glad you told me. That's some great language you can use to just be with somebody and just allow the Holy Spirit to use you in that moment. You don't have to have all the answers. You won't have all the answers. And I promise you that, especially when it's, you know, some deep hurts that we're not meant to come in and solve and fill the deep needs that people have. There's only one who can do that. So just allow yourself to just be there and be a friend.
That's so good. This was an encouraging and provoking conversation for me, Shannon.
Me too.
I hope it was for our listeners too. So listeners, if you found this encouraging, let us know. If you want us to have more of these conversations, that would be helpful, because feedback, we don't want to fix this podcast, but we want to sit with you guys in presence and in a more meaningful way. So,
bye.
The stories we share here remind us that care doesn't have to be perfect to be powerful. It just has to be present. Neighborly is an initiative of Care Impact, a Canadian charity equipping churches, agencies, and communities with tech and training to care better together. Visit careimpact.ca. Or to find out more about the podcast, sponsorships, being a guest, or just dropping us a line, visit neighborlypodcast.ca. We'd love to hear from you. Check the show notes for the link. Or hop on our Care Impact podcast group on Facebook to join our podcast community. I'm Johan. Thanks for listening, and keep being the kind of neighbor someone will never forget, in a good way. Turning over tables, tearing down walls, building up the bridges between the souls. Love is turning over tables, breaking off chains. When I see you in a stranger, I'm no longer a slave.